afternoon, everybody. It's 3:30 or past, so I'm going to call the meeting to order. Mark, would you call roll?
Joyce Dill.
Here.
David Happ.
Here.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell. Mike Smith. Deb Roche. We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. I think we have a request today for an addition to the agenda. And I think, Lynn, you're going to introduce this topic to us if this passes. So I'm going to make a motion that we consider discussion on contract amendment process expectations and practice to occur later on under new business, line item F. Do I have a motion?
Second.
Discussion?
I believe that would just be a voice vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, we'll add that to our agenda. That item. Do we have any citizen input this afternoon? Any participation? CCMHB, Mental Health Board input? I don't see anybody here today from the Mental Health Board. The floor is yours.
All right.
The CCMHB will be meeting today at 5:30, and their business is fairly similar to your business tonight, including this contract process. So that's my update.
Okay, moving on to approval of minutes. Included in the packet are minutes from the September 21st meeting. I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
I move we accept those as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And we also have minutes from October 12th meeting. I move that we approve those minutes as presented.
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. I
have a couple comments today is all. First of all, I want to thank Barb Bresner and everybody who worked so hard on the Disabilities Resource Expo this year, the 10th annual. I wasn't able to attend, but I heard it was bigger and better than ever, and congratulations on that. I also heard great things about the CU Theater Company's Penguin Project, that it was phenomenal. So kudos to you all. It was very well received, I heard. And secondly, I'd like to welcome the UIUC Community Learning Lab students who are here today to provide an oral report on the initial findings of their research on anti-stigma strategies. We're looking forward to hearing your presentation later on. Executive Director's report.
I'm probably going to be talking about some of these things in more detail as we go through the agenda, so I'll just say my conversations with a number of board members and stakeholders about purchasing another Scylla were really interesting. It was kind of Alice through the looking glass, and so it came around to an interesting conclusion, too, so we'll get to that with the financial report. I learned how to find all of you and talk to you about stuff, so that was really good exercise for me. We have also on Monday a training event here that's scheduled from 12:30 to 4:30, And this training is being conducted by CU Neighborhood Champions all across the community. Approximately the first 2 hours of it are about trauma, and then the second 2 hours are about implicit bias. So if you want to attend just half of it, that's how it breaks out, sort of, pretty much. And I don't think we're serving any snacks, but we need coffee for sure. So that's in here. We're going to talk a little bit about contract process later too, so I'll leave that. The expo was amazing. I was there. It was great. It was great. Everybody said it was phenomenal. And it was so pretty. It was the best looking one ever too. So 95 exhibitors, and I think Barb's going to give us some more detail. I also, if you're interested in any training related to the CU Neighborhood Champions training on Monday, I have some information about longer sessions that are going on in the next couple of weeks too. So I can share that if you want it. I want to tell you that right after, this isn't in your board packet because it's in the other one, but right after our meetings last month, we had the State Association quarterly meeting, and Mark was a star. It was amazing. He did such a nice job. Anyway, it was. Thank you, Mark. And I know you didn't want me to set you up for it, but it was so good. So I have to brag. It was really good. And then just a few minutes ago, I was on this White House data-driven justice call, and something that came up there seems to be the theme of the week for me, and that is some of the things that we're trying to do that are so hard to do now because of money, like, for example, the DSP wage increase that was overwhelmingly supported, but then the governor vetoed it because the price tag is quite high. Right now there's a veto override campaign, and I think this is where we maybe need to do a better job of reaching out for help from the community. Like we have this wonderful program that we're supporting called Employment First, which is about educating the community to become employers of people with disabilities and to be glad to do that. So in the same way, I think we need to improve our outreach to the community when we have something so important in front of us, like this veto override campaign. It is going to take a lot of people to push for that. The similar element in this webinar I was on was that we hear so much about paying for success and paying for value in programs, and there's a lot of evidence that giving someone housing first helps to reduce the costs to other parts of the system, like emergency services and jail services, but it's very hard to take that first step if we don't have landlords who are willing, right? Or we don't have access to affordable housing to get started with some of those. So it's making me wonder what other things we need to do to reach this community other than just spend money. So anyway, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Chandra's not here today. Right.
She has a conference call, but she'll be in later.
So. Okay. Well, maybe, will she have something to report later, do you think, or?
I don't know. We probably but if just she, rely on the staff report. She
okay. Could, yeah. If she has comments to make, then she can make them when she comes in later, right? Okay. Agency information. Do we have any today? Okay, financial report.
Oh, yeah, with Barb.
Oh, Barb, I'm sorry. Sorry, I went out of order. I skipped number 10 altogether. Barb Bresner.
Thank you. Okay, yes. It's over. That's all I can say. No, it was a great event, the 10th annual. I would be surprised if that was not our best attendance yet. It just seemed like it was consistently busy the entire time. You know, in the past, we've had a few years where about 1 o'clock, you know, kind of calms down. That didn't happen. So that, you know, it's sorry about that. Yeah, we had quite a few new exhibitors. In talking to a parent, in fact, the other day, I was delivering the prizes, the big prizes that folks won. And the parent that I was talking with said she had been to a number of the expos in the past, but she said, you know, there were new things there that I needed. You know, she has a daughter, an adult daughter, who, you know, is needing to transition to independence here very soon. And so it was neat to hear that she found some things. And, you know, I heard that a lot throughout the day, so I was real pleased with that. We had 28 tables in the art room. I think there was probably a couple people had doubles, but so there was a good many artists there. They seemed to enjoy the day, and so that was great. The entertainment, I thought, was amazing this year. We had the first gig rock camp, kids camp, and, I mean, those guys, it was neat because they had we gave them a booth as well, and they were just extremely pleased to be there. They want to come back. But they set up a little kind of area across from their booth where they were just letting kids come and beat on the drums and do whatever, and that was just pretty cool. So the Penguin Project, of course, was there. They're getting a lot of publicity here lately in the news, and they were amazing, and I got to see their actually the full Aladdin Jr. on Sunday night, so it was pretty awesome. We had a Ryan and Nucleus band. We had a classical pianist. Just lots and lots of good things going on, kids activities. The evals, I'm afraid I don't have them ready yet. We do an exhibitor evaluation as well as a participant evaluation. I was just talking to Jim Mayer, who's the assistant coordinator, and he said that we had 100% return on exhibitors. That's pretty doggone good, I think. So anyway, we'll be putting those together and present them next time. I think that's, you know, that's about it. We do have, and I'm sorry I don't have these with me. I'll have a supply of them next time, but we have the new resource books, and they came out really nice. Big kudos to Jim and his wife who put this thing together and did just an amazing job with it. So I'll have some of those. Been too busy pulling up yard signs, so once those are up, we'll get this stuff together. Questions?
I don't have a question. I actually attended, and I usually try to go to every presenter that's there so that I can thank them for coming. And I got really good feedback from lots of people. There were people that I met who were there for the first time. I met people who were there who had been coming for a number of years. And everyone pretty much said the same thing, which was, this is the best one ever. Okay. And that if they were going to attend only one throughout the state, this would be it. So that's, I wanted you to know that. Want you to know that it makes a huge difference to families. Talking to some people who were there with their families. And we were also able to talk to Scott Bennett about the bill before that, the law that should be law, which is for direct service providers. And of course, I was preaching to the choir on that one, but I felt good about preaching to the choir, so it was good. Anyway, Barb, I've seen these over the years, And the work that you have done, and all of the people who are in the steering committees, all of the people who put this together, including the people who park cars, they are great. And thank you so much for the work that you've done. It is one of the most wonderful things that I think that we have done. So pass that on to all those folks.
Thanks. I will do that. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Barb. Since I went out of order, I'll ask again if there's any agency information.
We need to have the microphone on or we won't be able to hear it at all.
We've got a lot of microphones not working.
Oh, it's that one. Okay. Thanks.
There we go.
I think most of you got in your packets the email exchange I had with Lynn last week. And really what we were reaching out for, we are looking to approach the schools about incorporating self-advocacy and systematic advocacy as well as independent living focused trainings into their transition programs. Really what we're focusing on is we are not seeing this as a duplication of services being provided. So the conversation I really wanted to begin with Lynn and you guys is trying to view these things as kind of new on duplicated services that really need to be implemented. And so we were just trying to clarify the ability of these things to be covered and asking if you guys had any opinions or questions for me related to the email. And Lynn asked me to come by and see if you guys wanted more details.
Another thing that we talked about casually on Saturday was the possibility of putting together a committee to talk about what will be the best model for involving adult service providers with school staff and with families and students. And would you be available, or would your staff be available to work with a committee like that?
Yeah, it would either be myself or Dylan. But yeah, we would be happy to at any time.
Because I think that you're right, that it doesn't appear to be a duplication of services. It appears to have some value. Jim Mayer, who's with the Transition Planning Committee in the Regional Office of Education, that's right, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Has said that it has value, in his opinion. I think that the biggest obstacle is that we're trying to look for models that reduce the risk of conflict of interest when adult service providers have other services as well as that kind of transition support. So I think, in my opinion, a good place to start would be active committee work. And if you could, I think that's probably already, it wouldn't require a redirection of effort in your contract necessarily, because I think there's a special provision about that in the contract. So I don't know if that's, is that an okay place to start with this?
It seems like a reasonable place to start, to have a group of people look at this issue. And as we move toward conflict-free case management, we want to ensure that if we're going to be doing those types of services that you're talking about in the schools, that that we address that idea of conflict-free. So
I agree with that. And also, it's kind of a hot-button issue when you start talking about possible duplication of services. Mm. And what I read does not appear to be that way, but I think if we start at a committee level, we'll have a better understanding of that. So I think that might be the way to go.
That works perfectly for us, and like I said, we would be happy to interact in that way whenever you guys decide to start it. So
depends on what time the meeting ends. All right. Thank you, Jermaine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now number 12, financial. Financial report, approval of claims. We have a claim in our packet for approval. I'd like to make a move that we approve that financial report as presented.
Seconded.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, it is approved. Okay, new business. Our UIUC students are here to present on anti-stigma strategies. Welcome. If you'd like to each introduce yourself, and thank you.
Well, I guess I'll start. I'm Tori Palmer. I'm a senior at the School of Social Work. I'm part of the Community Learning Lab is one of the classes we're taking, which is Social Work 461.
I'm Maggie Potter, and likewise.
And I'm Brooke Aaron.
What we have for you today, which I believe you all have copies of, is our initial findings of our anti-stigma outreach research that we've been doing for Stephanie and the Mental Health Board. So I'll go ahead.
All right, so just to introduce you to kind of the process that we've been doing with the research. We've started looking at boards across the country to see what they're doing to reduce stigma, both with mental health and disabilities. Thus far, we have contacted boards in California, Illinois, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, and Virginia. In total, we have contacted 32 boards. However, only 6 have responded to our outreach. But additional data has been collected from websites and annual reports, and we will hopefully continue to be able to get people to respond to us by the November final report.
So the initial questions that we came up with to ask each of these boards are here. I'll go ahead and read them. What outreach efforts do you do to raise awareness for stigma against people with disabilities? And then kind of a follow-up question of if they don't do any particular outreach, we ask what other programs, because maybe they don't define it as outreach, but it could be seen as outreach potentially. Are there any events in general that you host in your community that you are well known for? I kind of asked that because of I think that people really know about the expo, and I was wondering if they have events like that in their county as well. Do you partner with any outside sources, like the housing that we have for people with disabilities? What is the focus of your board, the population? What are the goals of your mental health board? And do you receive funds for anti-stigma efforts?
Great. So I did most of my research within Illinois. I reached out to a bunch, and not all of them were willing to exactly get back to me, or they would forward me to their website, which was kind of concerning. But some of the county boards that I looked at were like the Oak Park, DeKalb, Cook, Henry, McHenry, Kendall, Madison, Vermillion, Joe Davies, and Ford. And most of the the boards that I looked at had a very extensive website regarding like their mental health board, which was helpful in finding information, but it was also kind of clear what they were doing for outreach specifically for like disabilities, invisible disabilities. So it was really unclear. some of them had statements like they had education through the schools, but weren't really listing what that meant. You know, is that a program? Is it, you know, what does that look like? There were some community fundraising events, and like they had a lot of partnerships with other mental health agencies within their communities. I was just seeing a lot of like sponsorship, I think, or like a 5K run, something like that. And some of them even had like a social media campaign, because I know that is something that Stephanie has talked to us about, regarding like, we're not, you guys aren't sure if we're reaching, you know, most of the population of Champaign County, and, you know, it, with the Ebert Fest, you know, we might be only reaching a certain population. So the social media campaign was something that kind of, from what I was looking at from these counties, seemed to be interesting. So I don't know if we're doing something like that here. And DeKalb County actually said that you guys in the Mental Health Board were really kind of their inspiration. So I think that's kind of encouraging news. I'm still waiting to hear back from some boards. They wanted to meet before they answered the questions, which makes sense. I'm a random student coming to them, asking them all these questions, so makes sense. So hopefully what Brooke said about hearing from them in November is probably more likely, so I want to hit that. So Oak Park Township, the woman I spoke to, she forwarded me to their website, but I found a lot of interesting concepts that they were doing, and I thought that it could be something that we could implement in Champaign, possibly. But they do have there's actually their second goal was to talk about health and developmentally disabled stigma outreach. And so I think that's kind of interesting that that's their, you know, they only had a certain number of goals and that was second. So, but they have things like they continue to fund the End of the Silence Mental Health Educational and Anti-Stigma Curriculum at their public schools and also their private high schools and middle schools. But I think that's a big population that I'm not sure we're reaching. And so I think that was interesting, and that they also kind of partner with NAMI and the Illinois Institute of Technology. So I think we're still waiting to hear back from a lot of Illinois boards are doing. I also contacted a few counties outside of Washington, D.C., most notably Fairfax County, because I've, in researching, just like, what are mental health boards doing? It seemed that they had a lot, so I'm still waiting to hear back from them, but yeah, so I think that's kind of all I had to say. So, Rickle, over to you.
Great. Okay. So, out of the counties that I contacted, mine were mainly East Coast counties, but I did contact a few in Illinois. And as of noon this morning, I had only heard from Piatt County, but then later on today, I heard from Macon County. So I don't have that information here, but it will be included in the final report. Piatt County had a lot of, I think, helpful information. They actually don't have a mental health board like this. They just have the mental health center, and that's what they operate from. But they seem to be pretty successful. I included the link for the website if you guys want to look at that. They have a lot of different services and programs that they offer for a wide range of population for people with disabilities. And so some of the answers that they gave me, they don't actually receive federal funding or state funding for anti-stigma outreach. However, they have recently received grant funding to go into middle schools and talk to them about disabilities, invisible disabilities, to those students there and kind of spread the outreach. So that's kind of interesting. It's like something new that they get to do because, as it says, funding has kind of been their main obstacle to really reaching the population in their community. It does say that even though I saw a wide range of programs, he said that they focus mainly on adults. I found that kind of interesting because I saw all sorts of programs for kids and everything. But, I mean, obviously take the word of the executive director of the mental health center. So here's that. And then I kind of wanted to ask a follow-up question because they don't do a lot of anti-stigma research or anti-stigma outreach. I was wondering if because of the amount of services they provide, if there might be low levels of stigma in their community, because it seems that it's such an open part of their community. So that's something that I plan on following up on for the final report. And then Allegheny County in Pennsylvania, it's in southwestern Pennsylvania in that bottom corner. Pittsburgh is in the center of it. And I'm still waiting for them to respond, but their website was very beneficial, which is why I also included the link there if you guys want to look. Their mental health and their special disabilities board is a subset of their health and human services department. And on their website, they actually have a link specifically for anti-stigma outreach and anti-stigma resources in their community. Something that I plan on talking to them about specifically is because they're in a more metropolitan area than we are, if maybe that might be part of the reason for the amount of resources that they have in their community. And as I've said, I don't really have a whole lot of specific information about the ins and outs of their community because they haven't responded to me yet. But once they do, that will be in the final report.
Okay, and then I have done most of my research in California, and I actually found most interesting not an actual mental health board, but instead the California Mental Health Planning Commission, and they actually oversee mental health care in the state of California. They evaluate policy, they inform administration and legislation on priority issues. They do publications and reports, and I was actually able to speak with the lady that the president, and she was very informative of policies that fund anti-stigma. I was able to learn that there is actually a 1% tax on everyone that makes over $1 million in California, and that raises over $1 billion a year. And so that money goes straight to mental health in California, and they have a huge chunk of that going to anti-stigma. There's an campaign and it's an organization that is called Every Mind Matters, and they are fully dedicated to anti-stigma efforts. She has passed me along to the Planning Commission for developmental disabilities, so I will be in contact with them as well as other mental health boards and possibly disability boards that are in existence in California, and be able to get more information on that for the final report as well.
So this is just a list of boards that we have contacted. They may have not responded. We have only had 6 responses, yes. So we're very much in the initial part of our research. But we're pretty excited about, you know, our current findings. So
yeah, and hopefully this list will grow, and we'll be able to have contacted more boards from various states as well for the November final report. So.
Okay, thank you. I just have one question. Going back to DeKalb County,
yes,
did they enumerate any way why they consider Champaign County, or what they liked about what we're doing here?
So actually, it was an email that I requested because I wasn't sure who to contact. And so actually, she didn't really say why, but from kind of her response, I'm gathering that it was from the Ebert Fest, or like the partnership that they do in the community, and the documentary or movie that they watch, I think is something kind of what she was alluding to, but she didn't outright say that. So, but yeah.
I'd like to hear more about that if you connect with them again. That's interesting. Thank you.
Well, I have one observation, but just 1 month ago, we were being jealous of DeKalb County for other things. But Maggie, yes. Right? Your observation about the community that may not be investing so much in anti-stigma because of, it's Piatt, right?
Yes, it's Piatt County.
Because they have so many services. It's interesting to me because one of the communities on Tori's list, which is mm-hmm. Joe Davies, I have a lot of conversations with people from Joe Davies about the way stigma works in their community. It's a very different animal than Champaign County. It almost sounds like a northern Minnesota community where everyone knows and loves each other and there is no stigma. Right. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's for you to find out.
Yes, and I will definitely find out. Yeah.
Moving on to B, integration transition successes. Do we have anybody from an agency to report? Yes, we do.
Hello, Annette Becker, DSC, and I wanted to just kind of update you on LEAP. Chike Coleman from DSC and Ashley Withers from Community Choices have taken over the reins. And they, at the end of today, they had finished three presentations. And I believe Becca probably shared at the last meeting that after getting responses back from our three-month follow-ups, we kind of revamped the presentation. And it's more kind of a tiered certification based on the level of involvement. And that was really kind of the result of feedback we did or didn't get from businesses. So they've kind of incorporated the new tier system into the training. And at this point, they've reached out to between 20 and 30 new businesses. And they're kind of diversifying the types of businesses that they're looking at. So more good things to come.
So Annette, when they have certification events or any kind of coverage in the newspaper, there might be like a little blast on Facebook or some, and you've been sharing those with us, and I'm trying to push them out. That's in the category of things I'm feeling like we can do for no money at all that might be very helpful in moving some positive changes in the community. So I appreciate you sharing that, or if Ashley and Chike can share those with us, that's great.
Certainly, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thanks, Annette. Okay, our next agenda items are all related to information that's presented in our packets for information only. And I don't know, Lynn, if you had anything that you wanted to comment on in the way of the agency utilization summaries to start?
Well, these are, they're so plain. I don't know if they're hard to read, but to me they're very easy to read and they're very obvious. And so I'm looking forward to the results of another student group project that we should have in December to share with you, which is a dashboard where you can look at each program at their results in the categories of demographic data or zip code data across a three-year period. I don't know what they're going to build for us and how much analysis is possible, but this has really no analysis to it. We run out of time. So I'm hoping that this dashboard will give us some ideas about what more can be done with this information. For now, it just tells me how good a job each agency did at guessing when they made the application, at guessing what they would be able to accomplish than compared to what they were able to accomplish. It doesn't really tell us much more than that, and you're not getting to see how it compares with previous years. So I wanted you to have the information in the sort of as a substitute for an annual report, because you're not required to have an annual report, but it is good to see what your money accomplished during a one-year period. So we'll see if we can get more insight from this dashboard that's coming.
Moving on then, did you want to just address the fact that we have our draft FY 18 allocation criteria in the packet, and we'll be working more on that next month, right? And is there something you wanted to talk about this month?
this is a, yeah, I should. This is a draft document. So it's for you to, I could bring a final draft version of it back to you in November for approval. And that is if, you know, if you have enough time to respond to it and you have suggestions for it or changes, we can do some of that through email or through meetings. You know, we've been talking quite a bit between meetings, you and I, and I can talk to other board members and incorporate suggestions so that we have a final draft in November for you to approve. But you're also meeting in December. We have a presentation scheduled in December. So if we end up looking at a final draft for approval in December, that's okay too. And maybe we want more time. So.
This has been shared with our agencies pretty much. It's been sent out for comments or?
Not yet.
Okay.
That can be done today after the meeting or tomorrow.
Okay, I'm sorry, I thought that went out.
Well, yeah, it goes out. This document will be shared with stakeholders.
Will be shared, okay.
You see it first.
Okay.
Yeah. But they can see it later today.
Okay, very good. And did you want to address multi-year contracting? We've been having some discussions about that.
This memo is for discussion only to see if you are interested in pursuing this idea. We could bring it back as a decision next month, or again, we could do that in December if that's better. This came up on the other side. The Mental Health Board is working on an evaluation capacity study with the U of I, and one of the things they discovered during the first year was that some of the agencies would prefer to have more two-year contracts. And we probably should call this a two-year contract process because we can't do more than 2 years per the funding guidelines. So I will change the title to two-year instead of multi-year if you see this again. So if there is support for this idea, we'll bring it back for a decision. We asked agencies through a mental health agency council meeting, and not everybody was there. So then I contacted a couple of agencies which I thought might be appropriate. Their contracts might fit well with two-year contracting. There are some, we want to take a little bit of a baby step because we don't know what the unintended consequences will be of tying up money, you know, so that you can't, then this is money that would follow your FY17 priorities because it would simply extend the set of FY17 contracts, that's your current year contracts. So then that limits the amount of money that you have left to do new things with or innovations. But we feel like there are already sufficient provisions in the contract language for the cases of redirection of effort because something has changed with the state budget or conditions at an agency have changed. But those things are already available. We don't expect that would be a barrier with multi-year contracting. So, anyway.
More to come.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the next on the agenda would be our addition.
Oh, that, yeah. There are copies for the audience, and you guys could join us at the table if you want to. There are copies of what we're going to talk about next. This is a DDB version of a document that we will be discussing at the Mental Health Board meeting because of a request they made last month. It's not a request that you made, so I didn't include it in your original board packet, but in the last week, two agencies have asked for changes to the contract, which may be significant enough to warrant discussion with you. So that basically, we've quoted the section of the funding guidelines, and then I also printed the funding guidelines for your reference, but the relevant sections are quoted in this briefing memo about when there's a need for a contract amendment, this is what we do. And typically it's handled by staff with board president and executive director approval, but then there are some things which would come to the full board for approval. So for example, Jermaine Raymer has raised an interesting project as a potential redirection of effort for the current PACE contract. And I think that some of us are concerned that maybe too big of a step, so we countered a few minutes ago with, let's do a committee. And that's not a substantial change to their contract, so we wouldn't need to do any contract amendment. The other question that has come up is one of the contracts that you've supported for many years with the CU Autism Network needs to be changed now because they're parting ways with the Autism Society of Illinois. So we're going to terminate the current contract. Instead of doing an amendment, we're actually going to terminate and then contract with somebody else. So that we will probably be, hopefully by your November meeting, we'll know what is best for the CU Autism Network and what's going to work best, in our opinion, for you, and bring you a decision memo about a new contract to support the CU Autism Network project, but with a different house. So they're not a 501c3, so they need to have an organization. So we're in the process of working through that now. So anyway, it's relevant because they both start as contract amendment requests, and we settled each of them in a slightly different way.
Okay. Do you have any questions about it?
I don't have any questions at this point. I don't know if you do. There'll be more to come, though, in this after discussion. Okay, moving on to old business. Some time ago, Ebert Fest was brought up for a vote, or at least discussion on this board, and it was decided at the time that we were going to table the Ebert Fest decision until we had a new board and a new executive director. We currently have a new board, but we have three members here today instead of five. So I don't know what we want to do about this, but I'm going to suggest that we open it for discussion. Is that the first thing we have to? Because we have a decision memorandum
here. Are you looking
here
to me? Is
yeah, looking for guidance.
I think because it's an action item, it requires a motion and then discussion.
Okay, a motion to. Okay.
But there's a number of options. I mean, the motion could be to defer, to table it again, to defer it, to approve it, to deny it, and then have discussion.
Okay.
So.
I personally would like to defer this again until we do have a full board. the purpose of deferring it before was so we would have a full board. Right. So I'd like to go ahead and suggest that we do that.
I'll second that motion. Any further discussion on that? All in favor of deferring the decision on Ebert Fest until a full board is present? Aye. Opposed? Decision deferred.
I'll bring this back to you in December, but we as staff talked about this yesterday. We don't actually need a decision till January or February. I mean, it's kind of February, if we were going to be doing something with the festival, would be a good time to start planning it and really lock it in. And they may be getting nervous about whether we're doing something with them or not. So maybe January is really our outside. But I'll bring it back in December just in case. And we should have some, because you have to finish this semester sometime. So we look forward to your final ideas on this. Thank you.
Okay, Annette touched on employment first. Do you have anything else that you would like to add at this point on that? Oh, that's okay. That's fine. Thank you. Okay, Scylla update. Lynn, do you have any information about Scylla?
This was so much fun.
It was fun because this is already approved. That it's approved that we could purchase up to 4 homes with a certain amount of money that the boards are already investing. But there are so many concerns around making this kind of investment that I started to have conversations with board members who I thought might be interested in it. And some concerns are not things that I can overcome. There are, I think, still some board members who are not comfortable owning properties. So that's not, I can't fix that one. There are a lot of board members and myself as well concerned about the staff crisis. This is not, if the $15 an hour wage increase really goes into place, that's only the beginning of solving the staff shortage. It might still be quite hard to find people to do this work, and then there's a lot of training required for them. So that's just the beginning of it. And again, we can't solve that one. So then just working on the problems that we could solve, it was really quite an adventure. And we've got a financial report in the packet from Nancy Crawford. It shows a cash fund balance that's actually made of cash. That's probably quite a bit more than we want to have in a fund balance. But Mike Smith talked to me about 3 options for that, none of which require any kind of immediate action. The amount of money that we would need to invest in those, I think they're semi-annual payments in order to support this third, the perfect house appeared, and that's how this all started. It's not very expensive, and it requires very few renovations. We talked about bid process for all renovations. We talked about utilizing the weatherization funds, which may be available once a home is occupied for certain types of repairs. I think we covered a lot of ground and learned a lot of interesting things, and we also identified a group of people who are ready to move in, who require very specialized type of care, which the provider was willing to do. But as I circled back through this, I discovered that our financing has expired. So then going back through, and Mike's observations about the budget were that there may not be enough money to really support a third house and what we would need for insurance to really really cover all of our bases. And then I went back to a conversation with the provider who was starting to feel like maybe it's not the time anyway. So I think we set it down where we started, which is it's a financial report. And we'll probably see it again in a slightly different format. Was he suggesting all one page? Okay. So maybe in the next month or two, we'll have another report that shows us all of this on one page and answers a couple of the outstanding questions about insurance.
Okay. It looks like we're winding up here. At the back of our packet, we have our meeting schedules on page 38 through 40. Included for information only. They're pretty much set in stone at this point, but we have it. Okay, board announcements. Nothing? Well, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you all for coming.